there is something so holy in this place today. No man could have done it. I want to be so careful not to touch the presence in any adverse way today. There's healing going on right now. Right here, right now. We cannot go wrong when we turn to God's word. And in this wonderful spirit, while we're in position to receive, we hear the word of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, beginning with just one verse this morning, which reads, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." So many revelations right there. We could stop with "then God." Some of you need one of those moments. Darkness, nothing. Some of you may be living in a place like that right now. Nothing but darkness, no light even at the end of the tunnel right now where you are. That was the case. The whole world, the whole cosmos was dark. Then God said, "Let there be light." He spoke a word and it made the difference between darkness and light. If you're in a dark place today, all you really need is the power of the spoken word. I talked last week out of Matthew chapter 8, where this Roman soldier had a servant at his house sick and dying, and this Roman soldier went to where Jesus was and said to Jesus, "I have a servant at my house. He's dying." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." And the servant said, "You don't even need to come to the house." The servant said to Jesus, "Just say the word from where you are." The power of the spoken word. It's not about geographical proximity. The word can reach the darkness and pierce it with brilliant light. And this Roman soldier knew that. Jesus didn't need to change his travel schedule. His faith was so strong, he said, "Just say the word from where you are." Now, I don't know where you are this morning in your challenge in life. I don't know exactly what kind of darkness you may be facing. But Jesus said, "I will come take care of that." And our response can be, "Just say the word from where you are." And that's what we should do. We should just speak the word from wherever we are in life, whatever our circumstances may be. Then we talked last week about the fisherman, and the famous one, more than any other, was Peter. They were out fishing. It was not a hobby. It was not a day at the lake. They were not taking a day off or a break from work. It was how they made their living, fishing. It was their vocation. They were at work and about to go bankrupt because they had worked all night and had no fish. And Jesus gave a word. How many came for a word? today? How many believe a word can make a difference in your life today? That was their situation, needed to file bankruptcy. Business was going under. They were tired and worn out and were folding their nets. That means I'm filling out the bankruptcy papers. I'm not doing this anymore. When Jesus gave them a word, cast your net on the right side. And then Peter, we talked about it last Sunday, he goes into this monologue, doing his best to explain to Jesus why we're folding up our nets. And Peter was a little cocky from time to time. I can just hear Peter. Jesus, your daddy raised you with a hammer, and when it comes to carpentry, we know you know, but we're the pros here. Now let me explain to you, Jesus, what's wrong with all this and why we have come to the conclusion that we're going to just go home and call it off. Here's why. But in the middle of Peter explaining his problem to Jesus, he realized the power of the spoken word he had just heard, and he changed on a dime and said, "Nevertheless, at your word." Now, that's when life gets a whole lot sweeter right there, is in the middle of our stuff and our mess and the problems we deal with in life, when we can realize, I've heard God speak, and I know I think this way, and here's where I've been stuck, but I heard God speak, and so nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to obey what you just said. Now, you know the end of that story. They caught so many fish, the Bible called it a net breaker. Nevertheless, at your word. I want to ask you, what differences can a spoken word make? The truth is, it can make the difference between light and darkness. It can make the difference between confusion and peace. It can literally make the difference between life and death. The power of the spoken word. The Bible says that our tongue is like a small spark of fire. It begins with just a small spark, but it has the potential in that one small spark to do great damage. That's the power of our tongue. One spark can burn up a lot. Back in 1871, that was before my time, Hank White was just a boy. True story. In 1871, a small spark in a barn in Chicago owned by the O'Leary family caught fire, began with just a small spark in a barn, and the fire got so out of control. Doesn't our tongue do that sometimes? It just gets out of control, and we forget the power that the tongue has when we speak. That small spark that started in the O'Leary barn killed 300 people, left 100,000 people homeless, set the entire city of Chicago on fire, and burned 17,500 buildings to the ground. It all started with a small spark. And the Bible says that's the power of the tongue. That's the power of the spoken word. And we need to respect that power ever since God said, "Let there be light." There's been an energy in words. we would do well to learn how to use that energy. In John chapter 5, beginning at verse 24, Jesus speaks these words, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." That begins with hearing. He who hears God speak. He who has respect and revelation of the power of the spoken word. He who hears God's word and believes has everlasting life. It gets better. Shall not come into judgment. Hey, you want to escape judgment? Do you deserve being judged? Probably. Do I? Absolutely. I deserve judgment, and you do too. Well, how can we escape the judgment we so rightly deserve? It begins with hearing God speak and believing what we hear him say. The Bible says you'll not come into judgment, but it will make the difference between death and life to you. Then he goes on the next verse, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The dead will hear the voice of God. Now the symbolism here, and I believe the Bible is literal and symbolic. Literal, we can take it at face value. But then the symbolism even beyond that makes it so much more significant and real in our lives. If the Bible says a big fish swallowed Jonah, I believe Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. So I believe the Bible is literal. I translate it literally, but I don't limit it to that. I look for the significance in every word and letter God speaks. Listen to what he said. The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear and those who hear will live. Last Sunday we had three people born again here in our service. Now you only know about two of them because two came up. Quanda and Angela came up at the end of service before we dismissed. The third was a young man who didn't come then, but as soon as we dismissed and you were on the way out the door, he came up to me and I prayed with him privately. Three people were spiritually dead, but they heard the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. The power of the spoken word of God can take that which is dead and make it live. It all begins with hear. He who hears my word, those who hear will live. The word hear is found in the Bible 2,274 times. It's important that we hear. And it's important what we hear. And Jesus said more than one time, it's important how we hear. Hearing the spoken word of God is so very important. We can only speak what we have heard. Isn't that a contrast, but so true? A contrast to a word must be spoken before it can be heard. And then we can only speak what we have heard. Now when a child is of age, 10 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, It varies slightly from one child to the other. But when a child reaches the age when they should be speaking, and by the way, children learn to speak. They learn to talk before they learn to walk. Now, I'm not saying they're making complete sentences, but you know, even before they can get up and walk like this, they can say, "Dada." But when there's a problem with a child's developing his speaking skills, and the parents observe and say, you know, other children his age are already talking. Other children his age can speak, but our child has not started speaking yet. They will take the child to a doctor, and the first thing the doctor will check is not his speaking, but his hearing. The doctor will assume, well, if he hasn't learned to say daddy yet, maybe he's never heard the word daddy spoken. So if we have a problem speaking what God said, the first thing we need to check is, are we hearing what God said? Jesus said, he who hears will not be judged, but will pass from death into life. Even the dead will hear, and those who hear will live. We can only speak what we have heard. Now listen, Jesus, throughout his entire life, throughout his entire ministry, chose his words so carefully. He never misspoke, not a single time. He chose his words so carefully, and so should we. Jesus would only say what he heard the Father say. Carefully chosen words. And if Jesus did that, we should choose our words carefully. There's this big thing, I used to wear one myself. What would Jesus do? A bracelet. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? A question we need to answer before that is, what would Jesus say? Because we learn to talk before we learn to walk. We need to know what he says. We need to be able to hear what he says in order to be able to walk like he walks. We need to talk like Jesus talked before we can walk like Jesus walked. Now, in the New Testament, it's still critically important. Even over in the Hebrews, where the writer wrote in Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say. He's writing to Christians now. If we were in that day, we would be addressed in this letter. If he were writing the book of Hebrews today, he would be writing to us. And here's what he would say: we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. I'm guilty of that in the natural. I hope not so much in the spiritual, but we all have to keep our guard sharp when it comes to hearing God speak to us. But dullness of hearing? There are times when somebody can be talking to me and my mind be on something else and I literally miss the whole thing. Brenda's been there a few of those times. And I've learned to own it. Like in the last couple of days, I was zoned somewhere. Wasn't really listening, but she was talking and she said something, and a word or two out of the paragraph struck me as that might be important. And when I realized, one or two of those words, you know, it was 100 words, but one or two of them sounded important. And so after she finished the whole thing, I said, stop. I didn't hear a thing. Say it all over again. So I got it the second time. It's dullness of hearing, the Bible says. Look, God said, got much to tell you, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Now, God has truth for us, but truth is eternal, and present truth comes as we are able to hear God's proceeding word. In other words, God never stops speaking. But if we live our lives based on only what we heard in the last season of our life, it's not a present truth. Is it still true? Yeah. Did it carry us all the way here? Yeah. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. There's a consistency. It's a forward proceeding word. Proceeding. It's a, for you English teachers, it's present progressive tense. A proceeding word. It never stops. It keeps proceeding. And so one revelation in that verse is, we're physical people, and so in order to stay healthy and alive in our bodies, we have to eat. Bread is our food that sustains us in the natural. But Jesus said, man don't live just by feeding the body alone, but we keep our spirit alive and growing by hearing a proceeding word from God. I'm grateful for every word I have ever heard. But I'm even more grateful for the word I am hearing. A proceeding word. In other words, the truth that we have heard, as true as it is, there's an even higher revelation to the spoken word of God now. For us, it will not violate, contradict, or negate the truth we have heard. It will simply build on it and carry us even further. Give you some examples. In the Sermon on the Mountain, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters, the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus dealt with so much. Five times in the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus said, you have heard it said, dot, 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 but I say to you. What he did was quote a former truth everybody had known forever, the Ten Commandments. And Jesus acknowledged, you have heard it said, but now I am saying to you, and he expounded on the truth that they had already heard. It's a proceeding word. That's why it's so important to give respect to the power of the spoken word. And that's why it's so important that we develop our skills as spirit beings to be able to hear the voice of God. Now, I am so sure, and here's where we don't want to miss this. I am so sure, absolutely certain of this. Just like you can hear me speak right now with your ear and understand the words I'm speaking. Just as real as we are able to do that, a child of God can just that easily hear the spoken word of God, and the spirit man on the inside can completely understand what he's hearing God speak. Now, the reason we may not be confident in that, and all of us are stretching in that direction, is so much noise and clutter, background noise in our society, in our culture. I mean, we've got the television blasting 24/7. We've got the internet and we're surfing. We've got our iPhone dinging and ringing and tinging. And, you know, everybody's distracted. Now, I can hear everything but God sometimes, it seems. But we need a confidence in our ability to hear God. Oh, 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 oh. Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Some of us have been in the dark, and thank God we are not there any longer, because we heard God speak in the dark. And in order to give testimony and glory to Him, as soon as we get out that dark, We tell the world what we heard Him say in the dark. We blast it in the light, that nugget of truth we receive from God in the dark. We have God's permission. Hey, if I speak to you in a dark place, as soon as the light comes on, declare it out loud in the light. The power of the spoken word. We need to develop our confidence in God's ability to speak, and in the biblical promise that we have the ability to hear Him when He speaks. John 10:27. Do you believe it's true before we read it? The power of God spoken. Well, I believe it's true before we read it. If it's God's word, I'm going to go with it. Jesus said these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Was He telling the truth? Then if He was telling the truth, you should have great confidence that when He speaks, even if you're in a dark place, He said you would hear. And He said you would follow Him. Exodus 20:21. Just after the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, the Bible reads like this: "So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near. The thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven.'" Now that was in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was poured out in the earth and indwells believers, that gives us a direct connection from heaven to earth. Oh, now we have the Holy Spirit in here who speaks the word of God, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. If you hear God speak, it's usually something you hear on the inside and then you express it in the light. Now, He can speak through people, and you do hear it enter the ear gate. But if it doesn't get down into the spirit and you hear a resonating voice from God speaking from the inside, then you would miss it. But notice this now. Moses at the top of the mountain in the cloud of God's presence, and he hears God speak. And then the people can't hear. Why? They were at afar. The people stood afar off. Who couldn't hear God? Who could hear God? Moses. Why? He was up there where God was. I love it that it threw this in. I struggled with this phrase in the Bible for many years. Thick darkness where God was. I struggled with that. That's why it's so important to rightly divide the word of God. That's a New Testament instruction. We have to do it in our day. But for many years, I thought, I don't understand that. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if God is there, there cannot be any darkness. Because he's light. And my mind kept going back to the thick darkness where God was. It's in the Bible, got to be true. Hey, it wasn't dark to God. The thick darkness is where I was. The thick darkness is where you were. Some may be there today, enveloped by thick darkness. But even in the thick darkness, God is there with a voice to speak. And he speaks with power. It's the power of his spoken word. I'm closing with this. What difference can a word make? In Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, some of our favorite Bible stories drive this point home. Here's one of our favorite Bible stories. It literally happened. Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, oh, that's a violation right there. I'm glad they threw that in there. That messes up the story because, oh my God, the mess the disciples were in. I mean, they actually right here, it's confirmed right here, some followers of Jesus, some who followed him closely, so closely they were called disciples, were guilty of calling into question whether he cared for them or not. Have we been guilty of that? Storms raging, our life threatened, and our attitude is, "God, do you not care?" It didn't start with us. Even his own disciples were guilty of that. Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said, he said it. He said something. Oh, it was a mess all around. People were threatened. It looked like death. But he said something. What changed anything? Jesus said something. Peace. Be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. The difference between a windstorm and a great calm on the sea of life is hearing the Lord say something. Now, a lot of scriptures deal with the sea. The sea in scripture is symbolic of our life. The journey we're on. Anytime you see the sea in Scripture, it's symbolic of our life and our journey in life. And of course, we've just left one shore. That was, we were born into this world. And for the duration of our life on earth, we're between that shore and we're in search of another shore. And every day of our life, we're traveling on the sea of life. Many parables, many examples in Scripture that confirm that. Many great songs have been written about the sea, symbolizing our journey in life and a problem arising in our life or on the sea, and how God proves himself to be a savior to us, even in the storms of life. One great song that's changed the world is "The Anchor Holds." Thank you again, Lawrence. Lawrence Tuning and his wife Trish are here this morning. And that song, "The Anchor Holds," fits what I'm talking about. We're on the sea of life and there's trouble, and the waves have battered our ship. But the one thing that will save our life in the middle of a sea storm is if Jesus is our anchor. The anchor holds us safe. Why don't you give Lawrence thanks again for blessing the world with the anchor holds? Now, Lawrence is a treasure to the body of Christ all over the world. And, you know, he belongs to us first. He's a member here. And we share him with the world. And I happen to know this afternoon, Lawrence, and I love this about Lawrence because he's so much like me. At 2:30 this afternoon, Lawrence has been asked to be a guest at a church with a special service over there. It's all African-American people in Bishopville, in the community where Lawrence was born and raised. And a lot of these African-American churches are bringing their choirs for an all-day service of music glorifying God. And they were missing a white boy. So they called Lawrence and said, Lawrence, would you come over and be a part of our day glorifying God today? So Lawrence is like me. He don't mind being a white boy and all African-American people. They're going to worship God over there. So have a great day, Lawrence. It's really going to be Super Sunday in Bishopville. Another song that I remember. And as I close with this, would the praise band come back? Musicians and singers, we're going to go out praising God with a song today. I say he's worth it. I said, I say he's worth it. I said, I say he's worth it. But 47 years ago, a song was written by Dottie Ramba. And I love this song. I remember them singing it.